أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. The sermon number 16. As Sharif al-Razi mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, he says that this was addressed when he was given allegiance in Medina. لما بويع في المدينة وفيها يخبر الناس بعلمه بما سأول إليه أحوالهم. And in this khutbah, he informed people about his knowledge concerning the future of this their situation. وفيها يقسمهم إلى أقسام. And in this sermon, he divides people into different categories. The sermon is very scathing, it's very forceful, and it shows that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was not happy about what was going on before him, at least at the time of Uthman. And it is one of the most famous sermons of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which is reported according to Ibn Abi al-Hadid. Ibn Abi al-Hadid mentions, you know Ibn Abi al-Hadid by now, of course, the Mu'tazilite Sunni commentator of Nahj al-Balagha. He says that Rawahu Nas Kulluhum, everyone has reported this khutbah. It's not only Sharif al-Razi, especially the one to whom he, of course, has great, for whom he has great respect, Al-Jahid, the great man of literature of Arab, who as well mentions this khutbah because of its literary importance and beauty in his book Al-Bayan wa Tabin. And Jahid has passed away, I think, year 255 after Hijrah. That is the year of the demise of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. So about 150 years before Sharif al-Razi. And also Kulayni has reported this hadith in Al-Kafi, who passed away about 80 years before Sharif al-Razi. Also the teacher of Sayyid al-Razi, Al-Mufid, mentions this in his book Al-Irshad, his khutbah. Also Ibn Abd Rabbih, the greatest scholar of the 3rd century, reports the hadith. So I just mentioned a few examples. This is a very famous sermon. Because why it's very sermon, famous, why everyone has reported it? Because it's the first sermon ever Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam mentioned after his khilaf. So everyone, you can imagine, when for the first time he was addressing the people, everyone was waiting there to see what Amir al-Mu'mineen is going to say. That's why this sermon has found great importance and outstanding significance. Of course, the khutbah is, as I said, very scathing, very harsh. And Sharif al-Razi, of course, he didn't want to make trouble with his Sunni friends and scholars of his time, so he had omitted lots of the khutbah. Ibn Abi al-Hadid, although he is from the Sunni circles, he brings the full khutbah from Jahid, the Al-Bayan wa Tabin, and he says, it's interesting that Ibn Abi al-Hadid himself, who is a Sunni, he mentions that there are parts of this khutbah which are omitted by Sharif al-Razi because he didn't want to make trouble with the people. Meaning that, of course, mentioning those things in a book would have caused trouble among Shi'is and Sunnis, and Sharif al-Razi didn't want to make that. And it's quite clear throughout Nahj al-Balagha, you would see Sharif al-Razi never wants to make trouble somehow between Shi'is and Sunnis. And there are parts in this khutbah that Amir al-Mu'mineen very, very scathingly attacks Uthman and what he did. And he says that Salah al-Rajulan, the two men passed away And after them came Uthman like Ghurab, like a crow, and he started to eat up everything from the people. And of course the what is mentioned by Sharif al-Razi here is clear that the attack is against Uthman. And of course, as Ibn Abdul Hadid mentions himself, he says that the whole khutbah is about Imamah, and that's why I'm going so angry. And whatever you see here, there is a relation to the position of Imam and who deserves to be an Imam, and why people before him have taken this position without deserving to become an Imam. Of course, what Sharif al-Razi mentions here is not explicit in that. What Ibn Abdul Hadid brings from the book of Al-Jahiz, then that quite explicitly mentions things. And I think, well, the method of Sharif al-Razi is better. Of course, he didn't want to make lots of trouble. Although these were spread everywhere, I mean, these words, and it was mentioned mainly by Sunni scholars as well in their books written for literature, Arabic literature especially, because they were not interested in the words of Ali in terms of the companion of the Prophet, those men of literature like Jahiz. They were interested in his words as a piece of beautiful literature. And these khutbah, amazingly, Sharif al-Razi at the end said, I'm not sure if many people understand eloquence in Arabic, but anyone who understands this would not appreciate this khutbah, he would become surprised and fascinated by the khutbah before appreciating the eloquence of the khutbah. So, the two things have caused the khutbah to be reported very widely in books. One is the importance of the khutbah, because it's the first sermon Amir al-Mu'mineen ever addressed through it the people after his khilafah. And we know before his khilafah he was quiet. He did not speak very much. At the time of the Prophet he did not speak because he was somehow overshadowed by the personality of the Prophet. And after the Prophet he kept quiet because he didn't want to make trouble among Muslim Ummah, Muslim community. And so this is the first time Amir al-Mu'mineen was speaking out. And that's why it's very important. The second issue which had made this khutbah to be very important is of course the eloquence of the khutbah, which has caused someone like the Al-Jahiz or Ibn Abd al-Rabbah to bring the khutbah in their books and to mention it. Now, just we go through the translation of the khutbah first. ذمتي بما أقول رهينة وأنا به زعيم. Of course, the way the khutbah is started shows that this is not the beginning of the khutbah. So, Sayyid al-Razi has chosen, as it is his habit in Nahj al-Balagh, he just chooses the cream of the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen in terms of eloquence and puts it there. So, ذمتي بما أقول رهينة وأنا به زعيم. What I say, I am going to be hostage for it. I'm responsible. And I guarantee whatever I say. In a sense that if on the day of judgment you see me, you can ask me that you mentioned such things, and you can ask me about the truth of it. ذمتي بما أقول رحيمة وأنا به زعيم. And I am the guarantor for it. أنا به زعيم is a very famous expression in Arabic language. Is used in the Quran as well. In Surah Yusuf, قالوا نفقد صواع الملك ولمن جاء به حمل بعير وأنا به زعيم. This is exactly the expression of the Quran. And you find in the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen not so beautiful expressions of the Quran taken out and used in ordinary language. As for example, in Farsi, we use Sa'di very much. You have probably heard about Sa'di. We use Sa'di because he has very beautiful short expressions that we use in Farsi language very much. And of course, Amir al-Mu'mineen was the expert of finding these beautiful expressions in the Quran and using it in ordinary language. In Surah Yusuf, of course, when it is announced that the bowel of the Malik of Yusuf is lost, then they come and start searching the passage of brothers of Yusuf, and they start coming back to them. What do you want? قَالُوا نَفْقَدُ صُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ. We have lost the bowel of the Malik, or the scoop of the Malik, by which he used to give wheat to people, to wade. And وَلِمَنْ جَاعَ بِهِ حَمْلُ بَعِيرٍ. Whoever brings it, we give it one camel of wheat, the amount of wheat that a camel can carry. And it says, وَأَنَا بِهِ زَيْمٍ. I am the guarantor for it. That whoever brings it, I will give it. It means that it's completely guaranteed. Here, Amir al-Mu'minin says that, ذَمَّتِ بِمَا أَقُولُ رَحِيمًا. I am responsible for what I say. وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٍ. And I guarantee what I say. إِنَّ مَنْ صَرَّحَتْ لَهُ الْعِبَرُ أَمَّا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ من المثلات حجزته التقوى أن تحقه من الشبهات. He says that there has been punishment which we have witnessed, and whoever the experience, the lessons, ever our lessons, whoever the lessons has explicitly showed to him these punishments, whoever has taken lessons, learned lessons from what went in the past, if they have taqwa, taqwa would stop them from again running into the shubuhat, into things which are confused, they don't know whether they are, it's right or wrong. It means that I have now learned, and you have learned lessons from what went before us. And we should not repeat the mistakes which were done by people who were before us. Both as an imam, now I have come, as I said, Ibn Abil Hadith says, all sentences of this khutbah is an allusion to imam. And he says, as an imam, now I have learnt from the mistakes of the people who went before. And as a ma'amum, as someone who should follow, you have learnt from the mistakes of others who went before you. So, to whom experience has clearly shown the past exemplary punishment, is prevented by piety from falling into doubt. Allah, wa inna now, what has happened? What has happened to us? Allah, وَإِنَّ بَلِيَّتَكُمْ قَدْ عَادَتْ كَهَيْئَتِهَا يَوْمَ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. You should know that the calamity, troubles, in which you were at the time of the Prophet, the time the Prophet was given mission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has returned to you exactly in the same way. As I said, this is not a joke, Amir al-Mu'minin is speaking. He's very angry about what has happened. And this is a very, very strong statement, saying to Muslims that you are now exactly the same as people of Jahiliyyah. Now, what has happened, you see, we are not in that context. We really don't. We have heard just a few things about what had happened at the time of, after the Prophet, at the time of Uthman. Well, of course we know that the Muslims, the companions of the Prophet, they were not such a people to kill a Khalifa, a Caliph of the Prophet without any reason. There should have been something really, really wrong there. That they came from different cities, the companions of the Prophet came and they killed the Caliph, they killed one other companion of the Prophet, who was of course to be respected by everyone, who had the allegiance of Muslims. And this should have not happened if things were not terribly wrong, had not terribly gone wrong. So here Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Ala wa inna baliyatakum, your trouble, your calamity, has returned, قَدْ عَادَتْ كَحَيْئَتَهَا, exactly in the same form. يَوْمَ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, exactly the same way as the day the Prophet was given the mission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I'm going to rectify this. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَهُ بِالْحَقِّ, I swear by the one who gave the mission to the Prophet in truth, with haqq, that it was rightly gave the mission to the Prophet, لَتُغَلْبَلُنَّ بَلْبَلَحْ وَلَتُغَرْبَلُنَّ غَرْبَلَحْ, you will be severely shaken. I'm going to do that. This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen said. I'm going to do that. لَتُغَلْبَلُنَّ بَلْبَلَبَلْبَلَ is very severe shaking. I'm going to shake you severely. وَلَتُغَرْبَلُنَّ غَرْبَلَحْ, and I'm going to sift you. You are going to go through a process of sieving. I'm going to somehow put you in a sieve and in a sift and try to separate the good ones from the bad ones. وَلَتُصَاطُنَّ صَوْتَ الْقَارِ, so bitterly shaken, as in seething and fully mixed, as by spooning in a cooking. Tusaltunna saut al qadr. Qadr is, of course, a big pan and a big pot. And when you put things in it and you want to cook it, you just mix it with a big spoon. This is saut al qadr. And I'm going to do that with you. Because previously, of course, there were ranks, there were benefits, there were perks which were given to different people. I'm going to change all these things. And now it is possible that someone comes out and says that, well, Talha, Zubair and others were justified. I mean, if someone comes with such an attitude, people go and play allegiance, and he comes with such an attitude in the first day, saying that I'm going to change everything. I'm going to waive all the perks and all the concessions given to some people. You know that the type of concessions was given to companions of the Prophet from Quraysh, then from the tribes closer to the Prophet, than to the Arabs. I mean, the type of ranking of the people had gone so extensive that nothing was left from the word of the Prophet, لا فرق بين عربي ولا عجمي. There is no difference between Arab and Ajam. You could see that this was completely violated because of the perks and concessions and benefits given to the Arab people in the first place, then to the Quraysh, then to the Hashemites, then to not Hashemites in the sense of Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, those who were closer to the tribe of the Prophet. And this, Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I'm going to change it. I'm going to mix you, first of all, in a way that we don't have prominent people and poor people and less prominent people. وَلَا تُصَابْتُنَّ صَوْتَ الْكَفْرِ حَتَّى, what I'm going to do, يَعُودَ أَسْفَلُكُمْ أَعْدَاكُمْ, those who are high, who are low now, asphalt in the low position, I'm going to bring them up. وَأَعْلَاكُمْ أَسْفَلَكُمْ, and those of you who are high now, have high position, I'm going to put you down. Because, of course, these high positions were gained not because of merit, because of nepotism, because of family relationships, because of race relationship, so I'm going to change all these things. حتى يعود أسفلكم أعلاكم وأعلاكم أسفلكم ولا يسبقن السابقون كانوا قصروا. Those who were sabiqun at the time of the Prophet because of their faith, and afterwards because they didn't have any clan relationship, they didn't have any family relationship, they were stopped, they were downtrodden. I'm going to give them preference and bring them forward. وَلَيَسْبِقَنَّ سَابِقُونَ كَانُوا قَسَّرُوا. Those who were behind were attained forward position. And of course the translation is not very, very clear, because not behind without any reason. They were sabiqun at the time of the Prophet. They were given preference because of their faith, because of their taqwa. Now they are put behind because they are not after material gain, they are not after family relationships. وَلَيُغَسْرَنَّ سَبَّقُونَ كَانُوا سَبَقُوا. And those who were forward would become backward now. وَاللَّهِ مَا كَتَمْتُ وَشْمَةً وَلَا كَذَبْتُ كَذْبَةً وَلَقَدْ نُبِّئْتُ بِهَذَا الْمَقَامِ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. I swear by God, I never have concealed a single word, meaning a single word from the Prophet. Whatever I have said, whatever the Prophet had told me, I have told you. And never I have told a lie, saying that this is from the Prophet or this is something which should happen and it was a lie. I never have done it. And since I never have lied, I tell you something now. I was informed of this day and of this position by the Prophet, that this is going to happen, and I'm going to come to this position. And of course it will be a day after all those skirmishes and troubles which happened before me. أَلَا وَإِنَّ الْخَطَايَا خَيْلٌ شُمُسْ خُمِلَ عَلَيْهَا أَحْلُهَا وَخُلِعَتْ لُزُمُهَا فَتَقَحَّمَتْ بِهِمْ فِي النَّارِ. Beware that sins are like unruly horses. إِنَّ الْخَطَايَا خَيْلٌ شُمُسْ. شُمُسْ is from شَمَاس, means an unruly mount which wouldn't follow whatever the rider wants. خُمِلَ عَلَيْهَا أَحْلُهَا. The owner of those mounts will be put on those on them. وَخُلَعَتْ لُجُمُهَا. And the reins will be taken from them. So they are put on those khataya, on those sins and mistakes. And even if they had reins in their hands, these mounts were not going to follow them, to listen to them, to obey them, now that they don't have any reins. These sins and khataya will take them. Beware that sins are like unruly horses on whom their riders have been placed and their reins have been let loose or have been taken out from them, so that they would jump with them in hell. خُمِلَ عَلَيْهَا أَهْلُهَا وَخُلَعَتْ لُجُمُهَا فَتَقَحَّمَتْ بِهِمْ فِي النَّارِ. And those horses and mounts would take them quickly and harshly into the hell. ألا وإن التقوى مقايا ظلل. Beware that piety is like trained mounts, trained horses, which never disobey their riders. خمل عليها أهلها. The owners of those horses are placed on them. وأعطوا أذمتها. And the reins are given to them. Now this is a ruly, a trained horse. You have the reins in your hand. فَأَوْرَدَتْهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. And these would take them into paradise. Now, the message Amirul Mu'minin is sending is that I am going to treat you according to taqwa, not according to anything else. Because sins have led our predecessors into hell. Now, taqwa is a trained horse. We are going to ride this taqwa and we are going to take the reins and go towards Jannah. And of course he knows that everyone is not going to obey him. Therefore he says, حَقٌ وَبَاطِلٌ وَلِكُلٍ أَهْلٌ. There is always haq, there is always batil. And there is always people who follow haq and always people who follow batil. You can't have all people following haq. And you never see that all people following batil. It's impossible. This world is a mixed world. Allah has made it in a way that these people, haq and batil, are always mixed. حَقٌ وَبَاطِلٌ وَلِكُلٍ أَهْلٌ. And for every, there are its own followers and people. فَلَئِنْ أَمِرَ الْبَاطِلَ لَقَدِيمًا فَعَلَ. If batil rules, now he is of course alluding to what went before him. If batil rules, it has been long that it had rules. Before us, usually batil was prevailing. And you could have seen this in the past history. And if haq had always been weak and small in number, وَلَئِنْ قَلَّ الْحَقِّ فَلَرُبَّمَا وَلَعَلَّ. But there is a hope for those who follow haq to gain victory over batil. فَلَرُبَّمَا وَلَعَلَّ are expressions, رُبَّمَا and لَعَلَّ are expressions for expressing hope. There is a hope. Now, here he says that, of course, I know that I'm going to be opposed. I know that the number of those who are going to follow this haq are not many. But there is hope. There is hope, but at the same time, there is not much hope. Because he says, وَلَقَلَّمَا أَدْبَرَ شَيْءٌ فَأَقْرَرَ. It has scarcely happened that something has is lost and then it has come back. Now, after the prophet, the course, the path was lost. I want to bring you back. It's very far from imagination. As it says in translation, if wrong dominates, it has always in the past been so. And if truth goes down, that too has often occurred. It seldom happens that the thing that lags behind comes forward. Well, he is actually predicting that he is going to have lots of trouble. And it would be very, very difficult to put the Muslims again on track, on the right track. Now here, before of course Sharif al-Razi mentions the other part of the khutbah, which is of course more skating and more forceful in terms of what went before Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says that, أَقُولُ إِنَّ فِي هَذَا الْكَلَامِ الْأَدْنَى مِنْ مَوَاقِعِ الْإِحْسَانِ مَا لَا تَبْلُغُهُ مَوَاقِعُ الْإِسْتِحْسَانِ. In this small speech, فِي هَذَا الْكَلَامِ الْأَدْنَى, there is more beauty than can be appreciated. Of course, this part is not translated. إِنَّ فِي هَذَا الْكَلَامِ الْأَدْنَى مِنْ مَوَاقِعِ الْإِحْسَانِ مَا لَا تَبْلُغُهُ مَوَاقِعُ الْإِسْتِحْسَانِ. إِحْسَان is, of course, duty, goodness. And إِسْتِحْسَان is when you appreciate that beauty. He says that there are places of beauty in this khutbah that those senses of appreciation of beauty cannot catch. It is more than what one can catch. وَإِنَّ حَذَّ الْعَجَبِ مِنْهُ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ حَذَّ الْعَجَبِ فِيهِ. And the quantity of amazement and fascination arose by it is more than the appreciation accorded to it. وَفِيهِ مَعَ الْحَالِ الَّتِي وَصَفْنَا زَوَائِدُ مِنَ الْفَصَاحَةِ لَا يَقُومُ بَهَا لِسَانٌ. And despite what we have stated, it has so many aspects of eloquence that cannot be expressed, nor can anyone reach its depth. And no one can understand what I'm saying, because he himself, no one disputed that he had peaked and excelled in Arabic literature at his time from everyone else. And he says, no one can understand what I'm saying unless one has attained this art and know its details. It's not something, and then at the end he says, وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. Only those who have this knowledge of eloquence of Arabic language could really realize this. Then there is a second part to this khutbah, which Sharif al-Rabi had picked, in which Amir al-Mu'min divides people into different categories. And of course, in the full khutbah, which is mentioned by Jahid, he talks about Ahlul Bayt. Here, of course, Sayyid al-Rabi has taken many parts out because of the trouble that they might have caused. But still, you can see the statement is fully expressive of what Amir al-Mu'min wanted to mention at the beginning of his caliphate. Inshallah, we leave this second part of the khutbah for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi. The mic there, please.
You mentioned right at the end that I make the impression that I cannot bring you back to the past where you were before. Now the question arises.
No, it says it is very difficult.
It's very difficult. And then you also said that you're almost at the stage of Jahiliyyah. That it has gone so much in the wrong direction that it was going back to where the time of the Prophet is from. The question that one comes to their mind, one's mind, is why would this happen? What is the hikmah of God that after such a short time in the Prophet and the bringing down of the religion of Islam, that he would somehow be allowed to move so much away that it's almost like it's been coming to the earth?
What God does is not our business, none of our business, certainly. We cannot say why. But the proof of the truth of this statement is that only after 25 years, the grandson of the Prophet Hussein is killed brutally by Muslims. If this is not going off track, what would be going off? I mean, whatever he said, that I am the grandson of the Prophet, if you have any respect for the Prophet, you should have some respect for me. No one listened to him. So, this is the best proof for this statement, that you have come to a state which is exactly the same thing as you people were at the time of Jahiliyyah. The only thing is that now your customs have changed, you have the habit of saying words at prayers, but the reality of faith is not there anymore. This is what Amir al-Mu'minin mentioned.
So does that mean it is
then continue
for the rest of time?
It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always wants the haq and batil confront each other, encounter each other. Had he wished, of course, at the time of the Prophet, everyone would have become very good Muslims, everyone would have followed, as there is this imagination of some people, that yes, everything was very good, then after the Khulafa al-Rashidun, things went wrong. And this is not the case. It's always the case. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ نَبِيٍّ وَلَا رَسُولٍ إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّا أَلْغَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَتِهِ. Whenever the Prophet wanted really to guide people, Shaitan came in, and he didn't let that happen. And this is, of course, the will of God. He doesn't want things to go one side, because people are trained and tested in this way, by haq and batil being clear. If everything is haq, of course, then where is the place of trial and testing? So, yeah, this is Amir al-Mu'minin Nahjul Balagha mentions himself that he was an of how Allah is granting. And in Shakhshakhiyya he says, أَطْرَقْتُ الْأَيَّةِ. How long I spend thinking about this issue. And why these things happen. it is hayat. I'm getting old. Because the expressions are very, very beautiful. It says that Anyhow, he says it is a very, very deep well, a deep type of unfathomable issue. You really cannot fathom the depth of it, why these things happen. And in one other khutbah, he says that had you known what I know and what I see in the depth of these things, you would have been shaken from fear. How Allah has planned things. What is going to happen to this ummah? Had you known these things, then of course you would have been scared to death. And these are things that are going to happen. Yeah, the expression is كَمْ أَطْلَقْتُ الْعَيَّامِ أَبْحَثُهَا أَمْ مَكْنُونَ هَذَا الْعَامِ. I didn't find it here. I searched for the concealed measures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Long, long, it is unfathomable. When Amir al-Mu'mineen says this, what should we say about it?
I just wanted to ask
what was, sorry, what?
In the khutbah. So far it was understandable. Why should only ulama understand? So this is a very concerned question.
No, I was talking about the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, you say what Sharif al-Razi says?
What Imam Ali
now, the Sharif al-Razi says that there are things in this khutbah that only the ulama know. No, Sayyid Razi said that there are beauties in this expression, in this khutbah, that only the ulama of fasaha can understand. Not even Arab people can understand this. Only those experts in the science of fasaha, eloquence, Arabic eloquence, can understand those beauties. Not, of course, the meaning of the expression, that everyone can understand. It's the beauty of the expression that is what Sayyid Razi, Sharif al-Razi says that not everyone can understand. I think Nabi Harun passed away before Musa alayhi salam. No, and then it was Joshua who came after Musa, and he had difficulties with the people. And the similarity which is drawn between the two is that both of them are the helpers and wazir of the Prophet. Not, of course, the issue of succession, because Harun passed away before Musa alayhi salam. So the Prophet says, "Anta minni yunzila ta Harun min Musa." You have the same position as Harun had with Musa. Illa annahu la nabiyya ba'di. And la nabiyya ba'di means that, of course, you cannot be a prophet, because after me there is no prophet. However, you have the same position as Harun had too.
Can there be more than one prophet at a time?
Yes, they could, yeah. Because at the time of Banu Israel, we had many prophets being there at the same time. But of course, these were not prophets with the Sharia. They were following the Sharia of Musa. And after Ibrahim, there were many prophets, but they were following the Sharia of Ibrahim. So there couldn't be two prophets of who own a Sharia at the same time, but there could be many other prophets who follow the same Sharia. And the most, of course, outstanding example is the example of Prophet Lut, who was a cousin of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was living at the same time, and the angels came to Ibrahim and then they went to Lut.
You mentioned that Sayyid Razi had omitted some of the parts from the Sufata because he did not want to create problems in living the time.
This is what the Abba Hadith says, that Sharif al-Razi didn't mention it because people wouldn't have somehow endured these words. Yeah.
Now, by this omission, the message of the Imam would not have gone forward if the other people would not have recorded also. We would have lost the message, but fortunately some other people have recorded it. Is it possible that we can have the full khutbah and recording by others?
Yes, Ibn Abi al-Hadith has mentioned Jahiz's khutbah, and Jahiz's book is printed as well, Al-Bayan wa-Tabi, not in English, in Arabic. It's in Kafi as well. Of course, that part of Kafi is not translated. It's in Al-Irshad. Al-Irshad is translated in English. I haven't looked into Irshad to see whether it's the full khutbah or not. I can check to see whether it's the full khutbah or not.
The other thing is, are there other instances like this one where Sayyid Razi has omitted some parts because of similar reasons or maybe other reasons?
Yes, you know, Sayyid Razi is very selective. What concerns him is the beauty and fasaha, the eloquence. And sometimes from a very long khutbah, he has chosen just a few sentences and put it here. Because he wanted this to excel every book, any other book of eloquence, as rightly it did. And sometimes the reporters had reported the words of Amirul Mu'mineen not in the right way. They had just changed some words, for example, because they did not remember, they did not write it correctly. And certainly Sayyid al-Razi could have realized that this is not the word, the exact wording of Ali. It couldn't be, because it was not that eloquent. So these parts that he had chosen, he was sure that they were not changed in any way, because the eloquence was shown. These are the words of Ali alayhi salam. As Ibn Abi al-Hadith mentions himself, he says that someone reading Nahjul Balagha would not doubt that these words are all from Ali alayhi salam. Otherwise, there are many other books written about sayings of Ali alayhi salam. I mean, you go to Al-Irshad, you go to Tuhaf al-Ughul, they have reported the same things. However, they haven't bothered about that this selection according to the standards of eloquence. And since Sayyid Razi has done this, the book has really excelled all other books of hadith, which are collections of any word of any prophet or any imam.
I noticed when Imam Ali was mentioning the Prophet saying that he recited the word Sadaqullah Alim wa Sada, and he knew Wa'ali.
No, he was using Wa'ali usually. I don't know why in this khutbah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. It might be just a mistake or something, because he usually used Wa'ali. Because actually, it was the advice of the Prophet. We have this in Sahih Muslim as well, when this verse was revealed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. The companions asked the Prophet, how should we do it? How should we greet you as Allah ordered us? And he said, say, اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّى عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدْ. So this was something which was mentioned by the Prophet.
Sheikh, my question was that there are baptism answered when we were going to the Quran, that why did Imam Ali
him to be so harsh from the beginning, and the father answered that because he was told by the prophet, as I understand it, to be like that. And the day will come that you have to be very harsh from the first. And what was the wisdom behind you to be harsh, rather than when we want to implement things, actions, then gradually do it rather than be very tough from the beginning? What is the reason?
Well, what I think, Amirul Mu'min did not see that these people are going to agree with him, however soft he would have been. So he was not thinking about his own time, I think. He was concerned to set the standards for future. Because suppose that if, for example, he was very soft, he arranged everything with shrewd politics, as people were advising him, for example, leave Muawiyah for a while, so that he pays allegiance to you, and then after he has paid allegiance, you can remove him later on, it's not the time. And okay, had he done this, he could have ruled for, say, 20 years and just passed away, and the people wouldn't have changed. What he wanted to do, he wanted to set a standard as the wasi of the Prophet. He wanted to set a standard, saying that this is what Prophet wanted. As Hussein alayhi salam did. I mean, Hussein alayhi salam wanted to send a message saying that this is not what my grandfather wanted. And of course, Hussein would have had other options, as people had mentioned to him. Instead of going to Kufa, go to some other place, wait for the things to change and then come out. I mean, he had those options, but what he wanted to do, he wanted to send a message for future generations that this is not right. I mean, I can safely say, had Hussein was not killed, we were really confused. Maybe, I mean, all these things which are said about people of the Salaf, they were all good, nothing was wrong. I mean, these are just hints there. No, it was not the case. Not that everything was in place. There was a beautiful film. I'm sure you have seen it. This Christian man who wants to go to help Hussein alayhi salam. I've forgotten the Persian name for it. Ruza Waqa, the day of events. I wonder, have you seen it or not? I'm sure you have seen it, because it has subtitles. It was made in Iran several years ago. And there is a Christian person who wants to marry, and on the day of marriage, he just hears a voice that someone calls him, who will help me, Alman Nasr and Yansur. And he goes out. He leaves the marriage ceremony, he goes out to search, and he comes to Karbala, actually, just after Hussein was martyred. And he sees what has happened, he hears about the noble character of Hussein, and he comes back. Now, while I mention this, first of all, it's very good to see this film, it's a very nice film. And secondly, when he comes back, he converts to Islam. And people ask him, why have you converted to Islam? He said, my only proof for Islam is Hussein. And it's a very beautiful sentence, he said, at the end of the film, that my only proof for Islam is Hussein. Because he was actually incarnating all the values of Islam. Now, our only proof for what went wrong at the beginning is Ali and is Hussein and is Fatima by the type of actions that they showed from themselves. So that's why, of course, it was very harsh right at the beginning.
So I suppose that to take an example of the governance of the country, I think we cannot take this as an example.
No, certainly. I mean, this is something very different. This is done for another purpose.
I said at the beginning of the khutbah, Imam Ghazali said that you people have gone back to the as if you were the days of Jahiliyyah. Isn't that still true today in the Muslim world. I mean, the majority of people, they look as if they are in the times of Jahiliya. And compared to the student Muslims in the whole world, very few people are on the side of Haq.
Well, now Muslims, there are people among Muslims who talk about, well, they have formed societies as Muslim gays and homosexuals. This is the time of Jahiliya, isn't it? And yeah, of course, we are much, much worse than in terms of the mixture of Haq and Batil, much worse off than even that day. Okay.